Lord, we just again just pray that you just heal who needs healing and be with who needs to be with and be a husband and a father and a brother. Pray this in your holiest name.
Prayed. What are you doing up here? You gave announcements last week. Well, Dawn's out of town, so. Okay. Important announcement right away. Baptism next week. Two commandments we're commanded to observe in the Church of Jesus Christ. One we just did, communion, taking part in the body and blood of Christ, and get baptized. Pastor Stan has been teaching us about being led by the Spirit. It's been excellent. In case I don't get to say it next week at the baptism, I just want you to, when you get baptized, if anybody's here getting baptized, just ask, like I was taught that Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, but I also read the Word quite a bit, and it says there that which of you fathers wouldn't give good gifts to your children? How much more would your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So just when you get baptized in the water, dying to Christ, Romans 6, and rising from with Christ to a new life, ask the Father and Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he will. Just a really quick story. I've got to tell this, and I see that there's somebody here. Anyway, I worked really hard Friday. Really hard. I shoveled like 3 yards of sand. I was just dying. And I was hurting all over. I'm too old for that. I thought you said, Doug, you retired. Well, I was helping this guy with a garage pad. And so I came home and I had, Friday night, I had about a 45-minute Epsom salt bath, so I was able to move. And then I drug myself down to Reborn, because I just really wanted to go and praise God anyway, right? And I was down there and I was praising God. And I really, really encourage you to go down there on Friday, first Friday of every month. And it's just a really awesome time of praise and worship. So I was praising God, and I met this guy that I've met before in this house church, and my back was just killing me. And he prayed for me. He's kind of the first time I met him, I thought he was really just, this guy is nuts. Like, full gospel, crazy, spirit-filled guy. But I got to know him a bit, and I realized that he just believes Acts chapter 16, and just does it. He lays hands on the sick and they're healed. So he prayed for me, and about four times he prayed for me. The fourth time, my back just went like that, and God healed my back. Eh? Like, it's just like, I just feel like leaping and dancing like a lamb, eh? And so I'll mention his name. He's Harold Flake from Sylvan Lake. And he's joining us today. He's a guest here. It was just an awesome time. If you need prayer, ask Harold to pray for you. So I think that's it. The women's treat this weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing more God stories when the ladies come back. I think that's about it. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.
Yes.
Thank you that we can be washed by your word, the water of your word. Hallelujah. And just like Stan said, we can take communion and just be purified by the blood and body of Jesus. Hallelujah. How powerful is that, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for the church, ecclesia, the body of believers. It's good to belong to the family of God. Hallelujah. Strengthen your servant, empower him, speak to us through him. In Jesus' holy, precious, mighty name, amen. Amen.
Doug had such an amazing prayer. It was a good prayer and all that, but that's not what the clapping's for. So all the glory, all the honor is always belonging to God. And it was so, it was powerful to come to his table this morning. Agreed? It's good to be reminded. And by the way, if you didn't get a chance, if you weren't here, you can come up anytime, even when I'm preaching. If you didn't get a chance to take the bread and the juice, just take it and find your seat. That's okay. It's important that we partake of that. It's important that we remember and believe that Jesus died for us. This is a tangible way of him saying, I love you. I love you. Remember that I died for you. Remember that I've got it all in control. There you go. Yeah, we all know you're late now, but that's okay. Yeah, he worked all night. He's got a good excuse. So thank you, God. Let's pray together. Let's just join our hearts. Thank you, God, that you are in the presence. We're in the presence of you. And in the presence of the Lord, there's just the glory of God. We sense the glory of God in this place. We've come together today because we need you. We need to be reminded that you love us. We need to be reminded that we belong to you. Some of us are struggling with fear and doubt. We need to be reminded today that you are the one who is victor even over fear and doubt, and that you set our feet on solid ground. Thank you, God. Thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And so we pray together this morning, and we invite you to lead us by your Holy Spirit. We choose to follow you, and we open our eyes to see where you are going. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, I gave you that card. I think I got it in my Bible somewhere, but it says just that, right? It says, here's the prayer to pray. And it's the prayer that God's laid on my heart, and I'm trying to pray this every single day and saying, okay, God, what are we doing today? Where are we going? Who am I talking to? Who needs the word of encouragement? Lord, I invite you to lead me today by your Spirit. I choose to follow you. My eyes are open to see where you go. Praying that prayer, how many of you are doing that? Thank you. I'm glad. That's encouraging. And if you don't have one of these, I'll give you this one, or we'll make some more up. But it's all about how we need to just put ourselves before God and say, God, what's the plan today? And if we don't do that, at least if you're like me, then you just tend to run through your day and you do your own thing and you go around in circles a lot. But we're not always, or at least not often, really listening to the Holy Spirit. And I'm believing that what the Word teaches is that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. And not only can be, we should be led by the Holy Spirit. And that through the Holy Spirit, we have specific, particular things to do that he wants us to do. People that we need to come in contact with. Maybe people we know, maybe people we don't know. People who might need prayer. People who might need a word from God. Maybe it's a word of knowledge. God places that word inside of you, and he says, I want you to share that with this person. And I know a lot of times you get there, you go, well, that's just kind of weird. Why would I do that, right? But that's, you know, God's always, I said this last week, God has always spoken to his people. Can you just move this? Is that okay if I do that? He's always spoken in supernatural ways. He did that in the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. And he still does that today. And sometimes I've experienced where someone has come to me and said, I got something that I really think God wants you to hear. Man, it's just blowing me away. Like, it's just powerful, or it's timely, or it's just exactly what I needed at that particular time. So be open to that. Just be aware that we need to be led by the Spirit. That's what the theme has been, and what it continues to be for the series of sermons that I'm preaching, being led by the Spirit. Those of you who haven't been here, I'm just going to give you a brief kind of a reason why. Why are we doing this? When Jesus walked on the earth, some of you know what I'm going to say already because I've said this a lot, but you know, when he called his disciples, all he said to them was, follow me. Just follow me. And they did. They got up and they followed him. There wasn't like a contract to sign. There wasn't a big explanation of all the good things that are going to happen. He just said, follow me. And they were obedient and they followed him. He wants us to be Christ followers too. We need to follow Jesus Christ. That's what we are. That's the essence of our being. I follow Christ. But today, post Pentecost, now that the Holy Spirit lives in me, and now that we're the body of Christ, each gifted with the Holy Spirit, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? If we're going to be Christ followers, or we're going to follow him, then it necessarily follows that we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, not led by every whim and doctrine and teaching and weirdo who says do this or do that. I'm not talking about me. But led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Believing what it says in John, that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, that he's a he, not just an it. He is a he. He lives inside of me. He is, what does he say? He said, I will be with you and I will be in you. And I will teach you the things that you need to know, and I will reveal to you what the Father has revealed to me. Yeah. Now that is a great promise. You know, it means I got the Holy Spirit right here. And he's telling me, he's speaking to me, he's saying, I love you, I encourage. Some days I just need that. Man, hang in there, Stan. Hold the line. This is a hard day, but I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm holding you up. Other days it's, you know, there's going to be someone who is going to come across your path today, and I want you just to be merciful. Sometimes I say, you want me to be what? Right, Will? Some days it's hard to be merciful. Will and I stand against the wall at the Potter's Hands kitchen on Tuesdays and try to keep some order. And we keep reminding each other, be merciful. Show kindness to this guy, Will. And he says the same to me, right? So that's how God works. He does it. We're a body, and he keeps encouraging us. Okay, so being led by the Spirit, I just want to say one more thing. And again, this is sort of tying into something I said a while ago. I love being filled with the Spirit. I love the teaching on being filled with the Spirit. I love the encouragement that we hear when we say, we need to be filled by the Spirit. And all the talk about the power of the Spirit, I'm all for that. And the manifestation of the Spirit and the healing and the miracles and the tongues, whatever that is, I'm all for it. But let's remember one thing, that none of that matters unless we're being led by the Spirit. So just kind of reiterating what I said before, remember when I played the thing, that 63 Corvette, that was just sitting there in the driveway, vroom, 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 vroom. That's being filled with the Spirit. That's the power of the Spirit. But if that car never gets out of the driveway, it's never led where it belongs, where it should be, then it's all just a lot of noise. It's all just a lot of noise. And I don't want to just be a noisy church, do you? I want to be a church. I think this is where God is leading us. He says, I want to lead you. I want you to follow me. Follow me, and I'm going to bring you to places that you can't even imagine. They're going to be so exciting. Follow me. If you just allow yourself to be led by me, I'll show you power. You want to see power? I'll show you power. I'll show you healings. I'll show you people who the doctors say are never going to be healed, but they will be healed. I will show you that. I will show you people that you never dreamed would ever humble their hearts and come to me, and you'll see them on their knees. I'll show you that, but you need to be led. Because here's the thing, it's not where you go, it's not your plan, it's not your agenda, it's not all the things that you want to do, it's where I want you to go that matters. Are we following that? Okay, good. Can I get a drink a sec, you don't mind? Oh, man. The ladies are gone. Did you guys notice this? I noticed it about a day and a half ago when the house was getting messy. I mean, I'm sitting on the couch and there's no supper. I don't know what's going on. Oh, I'm in big trouble for saying that. Thank God that our women are on a great retreat. Amen. Let's just thank God for that. They are out at Deer Valley Meadows, and our friends from the church, the River Church in Abbotsford, are coming. They're leading them. And my wife called me yesterday, and she said, we're just having an awesome time. Really strong teaching. The theme is hungry for God, just wanting more of God, wanting to be led, more of God, hungry for God. And so there's like 30 ladies, maybe more, that are there enjoying themselves. And just maybe before I read this, let's pray for them. So God is, as our wives and sisters and as some of the women from our church are, they're probably worshiping you right now. We just pray for your Spirit to lead them too. So thankful, God, that there's some people there that they haven't really even been to church before, and they're coming to the retreat. Help them to come to know you. Thank you for good teaching, and thank you for that we are so blessed with so many godly women who are part of our family, part of this church. So would you just strengthen them? Will you set their feet on a solid ground today, and would they be able to make this a day where they are drawn into such a close and intimate fellowship and relationship with you? Thank you, God. Be with Crystal and with Barb and Kathy and with Kirsten and those who've been leading this, as well as the people from the river. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, then. You can do that. You can pray for God to just turn up the heat. I'm going to read again sort of the passage that we read last week. I want to carry on with this, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen, but I do encourage you to bring your Bibles along. Here's what it says here. I'm going to read the whole story this time. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And we spent a lot of time on that last time, right? That's what we're talking about today, that the Spirit told Philip. He actually said the words. He gave him that direction. He's that kind of a Holy Spirit who moves us in to do specific things. He's not just some huge force, energy field, but he is a personal Holy Spirit who gives us direction and sometimes tells us specific things to say or to do. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And then Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" And so he invited Philip to come and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture from Isaiah, that he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Talking about Jesus, right? Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And then the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And Philip began with that very passage of scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. Amen? Anyone remember we talked about that? All right, okay. Here's what you got to tell people. When someone asks you the question, that here's the important thing, tell them the good news about Jesus. And that's it. Just tell them that. That's good. Now, here's the part we didn't read. And so as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all of the towns until he reached Caesarea. Amen. It's a story about someone who was willing to be led by the Holy Spirit, and that someone was Philip. He was willing to listen to the Spirit when the Spirit said, "Go and tell him about Jesus, bring in the gospel." He was willing to walk up to a chariot of someone he didn't even know and say, "Hey, how are you doing today, and what are you reading?" He was willing to climb up on the chariot when he was invited into it and to share the good news of Jesus. And that's a great example. I think it's one of the best examples that I know of someone who is willing to just be led by the Spirit, who probably started that day going, "Okay, what do you want to do today, God? What do you want me to do? How can I be a living sacrifice? How can I glorify you today?" And the Spirit says, "Okay, this is what I want you to do. Go on this road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and then we'll tell you what happens next when you get there." And so then he gets there. He says, "Now I want you to go to the chariot," right? What a great example of someone who was led by the Spirit of God. He was told by the Spirit to speak to this Ethiopian. And by the way, man, there's so much in this story, there's so much here that isn't written. It isn't even recorded. We know there's a whole lot more to this story than what we get. For example, he's got a Bible. Did you ever think about that? He's sitting in his chariot and he's reading the Bible. Like, where did you get that from? He's reading the Old Testament. Where did you learn Hebrew or Aramaic? He's already hungry. He's already wanting to know about who this God is. God's already been working in his heart, preparing him for this encounter with Philip. And here's something else. Do you know how many Christians there are in Ethiopia today? About 45 million. Yeah, there are about 45 million Christians in Ethiopia. And the tradition of the Christian church is that that is a direct result of this story that we read here today. That they believe that, I mean, we don't have all the details. I can't tell you, it's not in God's word. But the tradition of the Ethiopian and the Sudanese Christians is that Christianity was brought to them when Philip led this person to Christ, and this important official went back to his home country, and he either started a church or a Bible study, or he just started praying. And today we see 46 million people, 45 million people who are serving Jesus Christ. Amen. That shows you what happens if you're willing to be led by the Spirit of God. Because if you're willing to be led by the Spirit of God, suddenly what matters is not your agenda, but what matters is God's agenda. And he puts us in places where we can be used way more powerfully than if we decide that we're going to orchestrate this kingdom building thing. Right? It's all about a question. I mentioned that last time that it's so important. I got to remember where I put this. Will you remind me that it's right here? Okay. He asked the question. I said last week, wait for the question. Remember that? When you're talking to somebody, when you're trying to share Christ, maybe it's a coworker or someone who lives in the apartment, or maybe it's a family member. Sometimes you just got to wait. Wait for the question. Wait till they ask you to get into the chariot. Wait for them to say, well, what does this mean? When Peter preached after Pentecost, what happened? They said, what must we do to be saved? Thousands of people were asking that question. What do we got to do to be saved? And then Peter goes, oh, I'm glad you asked. Right? That's a good moment, isn't it? You had that before where you got the, oh, I'm glad you asked moment. I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the gospel. Let me tell you about how your sins are forgiven. Right? So sometimes we have to wait for the question. Sometimes we jump ahead and we try to explain more than we should. Sometimes we're in lesson 10 and this person hasn't even really surrendered his life to Christ yet. And one of the important questions I think that we hear today from the Ethiopian is when he says this. He says, why can't I be baptized? Right? That's a question. There's some water, right? Why shouldn't I be baptized? What a great question. Why shouldn't I be baptized today? And obviously, this was after a lot of explanation and teaching from Philip. And Philip was teaching him about Jesus. He probably already taught about baptism and how baptism is such an important part. By the way, we're doing this next week, so this is a bit of a plug. We're going to the river. Going to the river. If you haven't been baptized, maybe this is a really good question for you today. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And I want you to notice today what a different question that is from the question, why should I be baptized? Because I think there's a lot of people who ask that question. Well, why should I be baptized? That's just a church thing. That's just religious. It's cold. There's lots of reasons I don't want to get baptized. Why should I get baptized? Right? I'm afraid. I mean, there's people who go over the bridge while these kooks are baptizing people. They're gonna might be some of my friends who see me get baptized, right? Why should I get baptized? That's a different question. You follow me, right? That's a different question than why shouldn't I get baptized? Because when you say, why shouldn't I get baptized? There's something eager. There's anticipation. There's obedience. There's you're looking Jesus in the face and you're going, okay, I want more of you. I want this. There's a difference between the two things. There's no reluctance. That's what I want to talk about. There is no reluctance in the voice of the Ethiopian. He says, why shouldn't I be baptized? And Philip goes, I can't think of any reason. Let's do this. Let's get out of the chariot. Let's get in the water. Let's get baptized, because you should be baptized. You should be baptized. The Bible makes this clear. If you have surrendered to Christ, if you're a Christian, it's time to get in the water. It's time to have that symbol and that literal into the water and out of the water, buried with him, as Doug so properly said, buried with him in baptism and raised with him to eternal life. Woo! And I have literally seen people's lives changed in the river. I really have. There's people like Gord is here today. I don't know where he is, but he would testify that his life was changed when he went into the river. When you go into the river, your sins are washed downstream. When you go to the river, you're reminded, sometimes because of the freshness of it all, that you're a new individual, you're a new person, that you're no longer the old Graham or the old Earl or the old Stan. You're a brand new person, a new creation in Christ. The sins have been washed away. I am now born anew, and the Holy Spirit can fill me. The Holy Spirit can fill me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? So it's about reluctance. There's a lot of reluctant people in the world. There are probably some people here today, maybe some people who aren't here today, who were reluctant to come and they didn't come. Maybe some of you were reluctant, but you did come anyways. It's easy to be reluctant. And I want you to notice that the one question is such a better question. Why shouldn't I be baptized? There's no reluctance there. It's just, whatever you want, God, I'm hungry for you. I want what you want for me. I just want to be led by you. I want to be full of your Spirit. I want to be full of your Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hmm. I want you just to sort of check your heart today about the resistance that might be rising in your heart. Because sometimes God calls us to something specific, or he has a word, or he just wants to draw near to us, and we do this. We kind of push him away a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just sensing today that God wants me to speak to this a little bit. Have you been resisting God? You know that he's been knocking, and you've been not answering? Because that's something we do sometimes. Have you been resisting him? And a lot of times, let me tell you, that comes out of our woundedness. Maybe you've been wounded, or you've been hurt, or you've been broken, or there's still a lot of real fresh memories of the hurt that's happened in your life. And you know, when Jesus says, well, I just want to get close to you, you go, yeah, I don't want that. I'm scared of that. I don't know if I'm talking to anyone here today, but I want you to know that you don't need to be afraid of Jesus. You don't need to be afraid of the Spirit who leads us. I'm going to get back to this woundedness. Sometimes we're wounded, and that makes us skeptical, and it keeps everything at arm's length. You hear me? Even God. God wants a personal and an intimate relationship with you, but we go, you can have 10% of my heart, but no more than that. He says, no, I want way more. I want way more than that. And I know you've been hurt, I know you've been wounded, I know you've been disappointed, and I know I'm hard to trust, but you can trust me, God says. I will not hurt you, I'm not going to harm you, I will be with you, and I'm going to bring you to places that you'll never go without me. I'm just asking you to think about that. Think about your heart. Are you resisting him in any way? And that's something that I'm learning about the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit just keeps pursuing us. And that's such a good thing. Because if he didn't, you know, if the first time we rejected him or we resisted him, we said, no, God, I don't want any part of this. And if the Holy Spirit said, okay, then you forget it. I'll go somewhere else. He doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit says, no, I'm in for this relationship. I'm going to keep persisting. The Holy Spirit is persistent. We read in Psalm 139 earlier about the Holy Spirit. We read this during Lord's Supper, but listen to these words. Psalm 139 says this, Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. I want you to know this today. No matter where you are, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're afraid of, no matter what you're resisting, the Holy Spirit is with you. He says in Psalm 139, we can't flee from his presence. We can't avoid the Spirit. He is right with us. And one thing about God is he's very persistent and he's very patient. And he doesn't give up on us. Amen? Isn't that good? He does not give up on us. He says, you're my son, Louis. You're my son. I love you. I'm trying to say daughter, but all the daughters are gone. But not all of them. You're my son. You're my son. You're my daughter. You can't flee from my presence. He is a persistent God. The Holy Spirit sticks with us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to listen to his voice. He wants us to have that intimate relationship with him. And it doesn't matter how stubborn you are. It doesn't matter how thick-headed you are. He has not abandoned you. It doesn't matter. Yeah. What pit. You go. I know people have told me this. Well, I'm in such a pit of addiction right now. There's no way God has got nothing to do with me. He's right there in that pit with you. He is right there in that pit with you. You may not know it. You may not see it. You may not like it. But the Holy Spirit is right with you, and he's still telling you. He's still telling you that I love you, and he's saying, don't worry, I'm going to get you out of this. Don't worry, I will save you. I'll save you. Earl, I was thinking about you this week, and I was thinking of this story, because you're a cowboy. I read this story a while ago, but at the turn of the century, the 1900s, the cowboys, if they had a particular stallion that was really, really wild, and if that stallion, no one could train it, no one could get on its back, no one could break it, that's the word, right? Thank you. Then, you know, they tried it and it kept getting bucked off. You know what they would do? They would tie that stallion to a little donkey. So they put a rope around its neck and they tie it to a donkey's neck, and then those are the days before barbed wire, and they would just send them off into the field. Go. And so you would see the stallion, this huge, big, strong stallion, tearing off down the horizon with this little burro, this little donkey behind him, literally tossing him back and forth. But because the stallion was five times heavier, five times stronger. And off they'd go. But you know what? 3 days later. 3 days later, they'd be coming back. The little burro, the little donkey leading the way. And the stallion just kind of following along. And I relate to that because I've been that stallion, right? You're strong, I'm going to do it my own way. It's my way or the highway, I'll do this stuff. I don't need God, right? But you know, God sticks with you. He may seem like he's strong, he's just a still small voice, right? Right, Fortan? He's persistent. He says, I'm stubborn. I'm not going to give up on you. I got more time than you. I'm stronger than you. You're not going to win because I love you. Because I love you. So if you want to just keep fighting the donkey, you want to keep tossing it back and forth, eventually you will hear his voice. And so the encouragement today is just stop resisting him. Give in. Why? Because he loves you so much. He loves you. God loves you. Even though you're in a pit, even though everything is collapsing all around you, or you feel like you have no control, or you're afraid, or you don't know how you're going to make it, you don't know how you're going to raise those kids, you don't know where the healing's going to come from, I want to tell you today what God's saying. He's saying, don't give up. I am with you. I am in you. And I love you with a reckless love. You know, there's some, I heard that we sing that song sometimes, right? Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's some churches that won't sing that song because they don't like that term, that he's reckless. But I want to tell you, though, he is reckless. It's reckless. For him to love me, that's pretty reckless. Right? I mean, not he. You know what? For him to love you, it's pretty reckless, too. So be careful. Be careful with that. It's reckless because when you love somebody, you put your heart on the line. When you love someone, you say, you know, I love you. And then you wait for them to say, I love you back. And if they don't, well, that's dangerous, right? That you're right out there, right? There's something reckless about love when you say to somebody, you know, some of us guys, maybe you've done this before, but you ever done it? You get on your knee and you go, honey, I love you so much. And I want to spend my life with you. Will you marry me? And then she says that one word, that one three-letter word that starts with a Y, and she says, you? You? Like, that's what you don't want to hear, right? You want to hear yes. But she says, you? Right? So, there's something reckless about putting it all on the line, putting it all out there. And that's what God's done. He's put it all out there and he says, I love you. And I want a relationship with you. And I want to save you. I want to redeem you. I want to heal you. I want you to be part of the exciting enterprise of building the kingdom of God with me. Right? And we say, yes. Yes. Yes, God. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I be all in? I believe, I'm going to end on this note, but I think that we all lead our lives with a question mark. Let me think about this. But our lives are led by a question mark. And that question mark is either, how can I live for you? Or how can I live for me? And once you whittle it all down, I think that's kind of where we're left with. We live our lives with a question. Am I going to live for me? Or am I going to live for you? If we're going to live for me, then I'm asking the why question. Not the why not, why shouldn't I, but why should I? Why should I be doing that? Why should I be following you? That's someone else's job. You know, why should I go through all the bother? Why is this up to me, God? And we resist him. Yeah, it's obedience. But if the question that drives your life is how can I live for you, then the question is always preceded with, why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I tell that person about Christ? Why shouldn't I give my money? Why shouldn't I lead the Bible study? Why shouldn't I do what I'm called to do? Why shouldn't I? And so I'm just encouraging you today to think about that. What's the question that's driving your life today? For some people, the question is, how can I get the most out of life? How can I get fun? How can I get more money and more beauty? But for those of us who have surrendered our lives to Christ, the question is, how can my life be a living sacrifice? Holy and pleasing and acceptable to you. How can my life be obedient? And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to lead. Because it isn't anymore about how I get to live my life, because my life is now yours. I belong to you. So you show me, Holy Spirit. Where do you want me to go? What would you like me to say? How can I be used in whatever way you want me to be used? I'm here. I've been out. Listen to me. I've been out on that desert before. I've been in that sand, tied to that silly little burrow. I'm no longer out in that desert. I don't need the burrow wrapped around my neck, because God has delivered me from myself. All right? He's delivered me from death. He's delivered me from sin. And so the only response that's left is to say, all right, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Lead me. Lead me wherever you choose to lead. There's the last part of the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, says this. And this, just to leave you with these words of, actually, Chad, can you find the song about you won't relent until you have it all? Just find that one. Because this is where it comes from. This is just a word today for you to know how much God really loves you. And here's what he says. He says this: place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. And many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it out. Tell me when you're ready to play that, but I think that we want to just end today by, I want to ask you just to bow your heads and listen to the words of this song. I want you to remember the truth today, that he loves you with an undying love. He loves you with a love that is stronger than death. And I'm asking you today to search your hearts for how you might be resisting him. How have you been putting him off? Thank you, Jesus. Last few Sundays, we've been agreeing that what we need to do when we're done is just pray for each other. That it's a better question, if we really want to be led by the Spirit, it's a better question to look at someone here and say, how can I pray for you? Or maybe you have a specific word or you know that God's calling you to just go to somebody and encourage them. A lot of times we get out of church and we want to run to Tim Hortons, or we want to talk about the hockey season's about to start, or all that stuff, right? Let's not do that. We're going to play that song and keep playing it. And I'm encouraging you, stand up. Why don't you pray the prayer today? Holy Spirit, lead me to the person that you want to lead me to and give me the words to say to her. Would you stand up? Let's all stand up. I want to share God's parting blessing with you, and then I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you to, let's practice what we preach. Practice what I preach, okay? Raise your hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And God give you his peace. Amen? How can I pray for you?
Up your heart. Lift up your passion. Let him hear your cry tonight. God, come dwell inside of us. Come burn in every part of us, Father. Our heart is yours, God. Our heart is yours. Lift your voices. Our heart is yours, Lord. Our heart is yours, God. We desire you more. We hunger for you, God.
Get back to reality with Motion Fitness. Sign up for Motion Fitness absolutely free. This means you can enjoy things like tap, red light therapy, great workout machines, convenience, and the locations are open and staffed 24 hours. Download the Motion Fitness app to track your workout progress. At such a low price, how can you go wrong? There's no card fee, no contracts, and your first bi-weekly payment is on us. Sign up in-store or online before the sale is over.